Amen. Good evening. Welcome back to church tonight. Glad you're with us tonight. As we open up a prayer, I do want to ask us a special prayer request. I've got a 12-year-old boy in our church in Alaska, and he's been down at the Children's Hospital in Seattle and was diagnosed with lymphoma today. And so, obviously, his parents are taking it rough, and the whole church, everybody's praying, but just ask you to pray. His name is Nathan. He's 12 years old. And they diagnosed him just today, and they're discharging him, and they're sending him back to Alaska, him and his mom, for treatment in Alaska. I don't know why they send him back to Alaska for treatment, but obviously they know something I don't know, and God knows a lot more than I know. So I do ask you just lift him up in your prayer if you would as well. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity to be in your house. Lord, it doesn't matter our numbers because you are here. And Lord, I pray you'll meet with us, but I pray especially for Nathan and his mom. Lord, it's tragic news for them to hear about their son. And Lord, they're obviously thinking the worst. And God, you can use this and do a miracle. There's treatments, there's plans, there's things. And he potentially could have a full life. But Lord, I pray even now as they're going back and flying. And Lord, I pray for our church in Alaska. Lord, they just be there for them, encourage them. But Lord, you're the great physician, and you can do way more than the doctors can. And Lord, I just pray you'll meet with that family in a mighty special way. Meet with us tonight, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen, Brother Jay.
Father, thank you for this beautiful day you granted for our use, Father, and for your glory. Be with us tonight as we just share this evening together with you. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Allow your Spirit to touch the hearts of each one that's here tonight, Father, with the message that our visiting Pastor Hall will deliver tonight. And Father, as he has prayed earlier, Father, we keep, this young man, Nathan, in our prayers, Father, for the needs that he has. And Father, we just pray that you embrace this family and offer them comfort, wisdom, and especially the healing that he needs. And Father, we know that all things work together for good to those that love their God. And Father, we just know that perhaps something miraculous can happen with your hand of grace. And we pray to that end, Father. Thank you for each one that's here tonight, Father. Thank you for the opportunity we have to give back a portion of what you have given to us. And we thank you for Jesus who made it all possible, Father. Thank you so much for him. And Father, we just pray in his precious name. Amen.
Nancy, we just have the invitation right now, you know. Mark chapter 4, if you have your Bibles tonight. I had alluded to this sermon earlier, said I may preach it, and in light of some events, obviously, with Nathan and other things that have happened, I feel led to preach it tonight. Mark chapter 4, if you follow along, we'll start reading in verse 35. Get the tears out of my eyes so I can see the scripture. Mark 4, verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Heavenly Father, tonight we commit this time to you. Speak to us as only you can. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Jesus and his men are crossing the Sea of Galilee after a long day of teaching the multitudes. Jesus, weary from his work, is asleep in the back of the ship. As the disciples row, they find themselves suddenly in the midst of a ferocious storm. The waves are so violent that they've filled the boat with water, and they're in danger that the boat will be swamped and even sink. The disciples, fearful for their lives, call out to Jesus, who is asleep. He arises, calms the storm, then he turns to his men and talks about their lack of faith. He tells them that they were fearful in verse 40. Why are you fearful? This word means timid, afraid to the point of giving up. But when they saw what he did calming the sea, they're told in verse 41 that they feared. This word means to be stricken with awe and amazement in the presence of one greater than self. If these disciples had understood him and who he was, they should have had that second kind of fear first. Then they would have avoided the first kind of fear altogether. Often we, like these men, look at our storm and we tremble with fear. However, when we do, what they did and involve the Lord in our storm, we can find out he's always in control. We're left with one conclusion. He is far greater than any storm we will ever face in this life. He is far greater. Tonight, I don't know what storm you may be going through. Obviously, I mentioned Nathan, mentioned his family. I was their pastor for many years of Nathan's whole life. I was there when he was born. We were really close to that family. We lived in their home for a while. I parked my motor home at their house. That's how close we are. And when we heard the news that he was flying down here, my wife's first thought, let's fly up there. Let's go see him in Seattle. It's not that far. And I'm torn. I'm going, I have responsibilities here. Pastors count on me to be here. And I'm thinking, well, that family is probably saying, why isn't our pastor here? But I'm not their pastor right now. There's a new pastor. And the joy that filled my heart when he said he was flying down there, I was like, yes, yes, flying down there. Not so that I don't have to, so that they won't be alone. That there will be somebody there to intercede, somebody there. I know, and you both know, they can pray to God, and God can hear them just fine. But when your pastor comes along and says, I'm here for you, he's not a doctor. He can't fix anything. He can't make it go away. He can't tell the doctors what to do. But just knowing there's somebody else there interceding on their behalf. Somebody says, I'll go to the throne of grace with you. I'll cry with you. I will be there with you. I'll tell you what, I've said this a couple times already. Thank God for your pastor. Thank God for the pastor that God has given you. And as I say this tonight, thinking about Nathan's storm and his parents' storm, I know there's storms in this room. And I don't have to know specifically, I know what you're going through. I may not. Some of you may have shared some storms or things you're going through or procedures or job situations. But they're just as real to you as this storm is to Nathan's mom. So I want to encourage you tonight. As we look at this passage, I hope to bring out some things maybe you haven't seen before. I know it's a familiar story. I preached it in 1 minute the other night, but not in the detail that I'm going to share with you tonight. I want you to remember who creates the storms. Think of that for a minute. Remember who creates the storm, and I want you to see, first of all, his power. Oh, got ahead of myself. His power. The truth is, God is sovereign. When the storms of life howl around us, regardless of the sphere of their activity, behind them all, you can find the Lord God. This is what the Bible says about him in Psalm 107, 23 through 25. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and riseth the stormy wind, which lift up the waves thereof. We may not understand it, but when the stormy winds of life blow about us, a close look at the situation, you can reveal God's fingerprints all over the storm. And you'll understand that more as I go along. Because not only his power, we see his purpose in creating the storms. For these disciples, they were placed in the storm to teach them more about Jesus. Notice what the Lord asked them in verse 40. Why is it you're so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The emphasis is, why do you still lack faith in me? The song tonight, God's been so good to me. If we be honest, it doesn't matter what storm you're going through, what you're dealing with, God is still good. God is still good. And when you sit there and look at that, okay, may not understand the storm. I realize, God, you're allowing this to happen. But what do you want me to learn in this storm? Look, the other night when we think God's throwing rocks at us, he's got a plan to bring us back to him. After all they had seen him do, they should have known who he was and what he could do. But they still hadn't quite grasped it. So the Lord put them in the storm to teach them. In the previous chapters, we've seen his power over devils and disease and demons. And now they will see his power over the deep. This is a learning experience for them. And I want to tell you right now, I can learn from other people's experience. I don't have to go through some of their trials, some of their pain to learn from what they did right or even learn from others' mistakes. I don't have to make them all myself. I mean, most of us realize as parents Well, when we were kids and our parents say, you know, that's not a good idea. Yeah, you're old-fashioned. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. And then we go down that same road. And then we look back and go, I wish I'd have listened. Because they had experience and knowledge that I didn't have. And we can learn the same thing when it comes to our storms that are in our life. This is what the purpose of storms serve in your life and in mine as well. He puts us in the hard places of life to teach us more about Him. How would anyone know what God could do until they find themselves in a place where He had to do it? Ask Moses. Ask Elijah, David, Daniel, the three Hebrews, Joshua, Paul. We looked at the other day, Paul in prison. Beaten and thrown in prison. Praising God. God, you're so good to me. Something convinced that jailer. Something convinced him in Paul's life. Number two, remember who controls the storm. I want you to see in verse 35. Jesus says unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. It may be very simple. Jesus already said, we're going to pass over to the other side. All of us, let us pass over. What hope that should have sparked in the hearts of the disciples. They had His promise, they were merely passing over. Yet they did not believe Him. I've said it in my ministry for years, where God guides, God provides. If God says, hey, let's get in this boat, let's go to the other side. Yes, sir. Get in the boat. If a storm comes, I'm not in charge. He is. He'll figure it out. He'll do something. I have confidence and faith in Him. It's easy to say that, looking at this storm, until that storm is your storm. I think about Nathan and his parents hearing this news. Now, they've been dealing with this for 8 months with doctors and procedures and biopsies, and nobody seems to have an answer. And now they say, lymphoma. Like, 8 months ago, you didn't catch this. 8 months ago, you didn't see this. And obviously, as a parent, you're a little upset. I don't know how it all works, whether it's stage 2 or 3 or how 4 it progresses or whatever it may be. But if they say it's stage 4 now, well, what? 8 months ago, we could have got ahead of this possibly. And once again, we start doubting God. We start blaming God. Why did you do this to me? Why did you allow this to happen? Don't you love me? Don't you care? And most of us, if we'd be honest, have been pretty close to that place at some point in our lives. When will we learn that they had His promise, but His promise didn't have them? To get up and sing that song, it's easy if you don't care. If it's just words, if you're just going through the motions and singing a song until it's real to you. God has been good to me. And I want to acknowledge it. Despite the pain, despite the suffering, despite whatever it is, I acknowledge God is good. How often is that true in your life and mine? We have His word on a matter, but we still fret and we still worry when God's already given His word. Don't doubt in the dark what He's given you in the light. That's why I encourage you, your pastor last Sunday was here, be in your word. Be in the word of God. Be reading it, searching it, knowing what it says, so that when doubt wants to arise, when other things come around, I don't want to be moved by every wind of doctrine. I want to know what the word of God says. When will we ever learn that the storms and trials of life can never pass the boundaries of His word? How will we ever do what He's promised? When we fear His word will fail. Matthew Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. If he has promised to do anything, then that's just what he's going to do. You know, you think about, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, all of the prophecies that have been fulfilled to the letter, exactly as they were prophesied. The confidence that gives me for all the stuff that's yet to be fulfilled, that it will be fulfilled exactly as the Bible says it. Not only by his words, but by his works. Verse 39 says, he arose and rebuked the wind. What the Lord creates, he controls. Whatever God puts in motion, he can perfectly control it. Even as a storm will never pass the boundaries of his word, it will also never pass the boundaries of his power. He's not going to be able to create this storm to get his disciples to have more faith in him, and then all of a sudden, I can't control this. The wind's got too big. The waves got too giant. No. He can control it. He walked on what they feared. Ever thought about that? Whatever you face is also under his feet. Also by his will. We're talking about how he controls the storms. Verse 35, he saith unto them, it was the Lord's idea to get in the boat, into the ship, and sail into the storm. In Matthew 8:18, a parallel passage, we are told that he gave commandment. Let's go to the other side. Often when we sail into a storm, our first thing is we must be out of the Lord's will. And things aren't going smooth. There must be sin. We're doing something wrong. We're not in the center of God's will. These men found themselves in a storm because they were in God's will. So many times it's the world that wants to tell you why this happens to you. Why the cancer, why the job, why the whatever it is. You know, I think Job, his friends, they weren't that encouraging to him. If he is sovereign, and he is, then we must learn the truth that everything in life is under his control. He controls the storm. He determines the duration and the severity and the results of it. But number three, remember who calms the storm. You see in verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You see, first of all, the rebuke. The disciples had tried rowing, worrying, and crying, but nothing they did had any effect until they called on Jesus. I made a comment the other night about, you know, who brings a pillow on a boat. These aren't big, gigantic cruise ships. It's like a fishing boat. You brought a pillow. You know what the Greek word for pillow means? Pillow. Something to rest your head on or cushion. This is the only place that word is found in the Bible. Where'd he get a pillow? Where'd he get a cushion? Why did he even have one? If we could be that calm in our storms. Jesus is in control. If he's going to allow it to happen, it's for my good or his glory. So he's trying to teach me something, or he's going to get glory of it. Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he's born blind? Neither. Hey, God, we get the praise and the glory for the miracle that's about to happen. That's a whole other sermon. Ever thought about this guy? I'm trying to remember, he's 34, 30, somewhere around, I think, age of 40, and he's been blind his whole life. His whole life. for that one moment that God could get glory. Think about that. Stuff that happens in your life and we deal with pain and it's 3 months, it's been 6 months, it's been a year. His 40 plus years born blind, that God could get glory for it. You ever thought about that? Would we sign, God, I want you to use my life to get glory. Okay, you're going to get stricken with whatever it is. Wait a second. I didn't sign up for that. He didn't. He was born blind. But that God could be glorified. When he said those three simple words, peace, be still, the problem was solved instantly. The word peace, I thought this was unbelievable. Peace means hush or muteness. My grandma, all the time, hush, be still, be still, be still. Hush. Imagine speaking to the wind, speaking to the sea. Be still means muzzle. So the wind and the waves had to hush, be muzzled, and be still. Because somebody's in control. God is in control. But I want you to see, and there was a great calm. That means there was a mighty tranquility. Waves are crashing. The boat's filling up water. They're scared. They think they're going to sink. To go from that fear, remember they feared, woke him up, and all of a sudden, great tranquility. I think just perfect glass on that sea. Then they had that second fear, that awe-ness. Even the wind and waves obey him. You just remember that as your boat is being battered and threatened by the storm, howls all around, serve a God who's able to speak peace to your storm. The response. The wind ceased. That little phrase describes a situation where 1 second they were terrified, a storm. The next second, absolute calm. Again, this is what he can do in your life and mine. He can speak the word and your storm will cease. Now, hear me. It's not always going to happen that way. Don't come for tonight and say, God, I need you to speak peace into my storm. And then when he doesn't immediately, like this situation, walk out of here doubting God. God's got a reason you're in that storm. Now realize, once they realized it and woke up, the lesson was over. They had learned. It's time to move on. And so that's why I say when things happen in my life, okay, God, I want to learn it the first time. I don't want to have to take the woodshed 2 and 3 and 4 times. I want to learn the first time. Now, I'd love to say that happens every time. It doesn't. Sometimes I miss it and I've got to go through the storm again. But the second time, I'm like, okay, you've got my attention now. I'm listening. When I could have learned from his storm or his storm, sometimes I've got to go through it myself. Remember, his faith is not my faith, and I've got to strengthen mine all the time. Like I said, the Lord will often allow the storm to continue in our lives until it's accomplished all its purpose. But in the midst of that, he can speak peace to his child in the storm. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That passage, Paul prayed thrice, the Lord remove this thorn in the flesh. And the Lord didn't. My grace is sufficient for thee. You imagine having more grace to deal with the storm, to deal with a thorn, to deal with whatever it is. Because Paul submitted. Yes, Lord, I've asked you to remove it. You said no. Thy will be done. Whatever that thorn, people speculated, I'm not going to speculate tonight. Whatever it was, the answer for us to learn, you can pray and say, God, remove this. Nevertheless, thy will be done. In my life, or if you're using me to reach somebody else through my storm. He may not always change your circumstances, but if you yield to him, he will change you in your circumstances. If you ask me, him changing me is worth more than him changing my situation. Think about that. Lord, I'm asking you to fix this situation because no, I'm going to fix you. Oh, okay. To where I can come to a place where I can submit to him. Humble myself, Lord. I may not understand. I may not even know why. But I trust you through this storm. The relief. When you see this, when they see this, the disciples are filled with awe and amazement. They are thrilled that they're no longer in danger from the storm. They're relieved that the threat is gone. There's a similar relief when the Lord moves in our storms. When he calms the storm or when he calms the heart of his child, there's a sense of relief that the worst is over and we're left in awe at the power of our Lord. I guarantee Nathan's mom has prayed 1,000 times, don't let it be cancer, don't let it be cancer, don't let it be cancer. And then the news today, it's cancer. I guarantee she's prayed 1,000 more times, God, heal my son, heal my son, heal my son. What if God is going to use cancer and Nathan to draw his mom closer to God? What if God's going to use Nathan and say, I'm going to use this for your parents to draw so close to me? Like I said, I guarantee you she's talked to, and I don't say this meanly, she's talked to God more in the last 24 hours than she may have talked to God in a while. And amazing, sometimes we go through life on the mountaintop. Oh, we won't give God the you know, thank you, God, this is great. Probably not reading our Bible, probably not doing church, and all of a sudden the valley comes, and we're crying out to God, I need you. Where are you? Sometimes God's got to put you in a hospital bed, lying on your back, to where you're looking up and finally saying, God, why me? And God's like, oh, I finally got your attention. You're actually going to talk to me now. I don't know what it may take. But perhaps one of the reasons why he allows us to weather the storms of life, he wants us to come to a place where we learn firsthand that God is able to do anything and he's worthy of our praise and our worship. When that storm ceased, you remember how fearful they were. Thought for their life, the waves are crying, we're going to die. Jesus, wake up! Now they're saying, what manner of man is this? But even the wind and waves obey him. You talk about a real quick, within moments, scared for your life, and then in awe of who in the world's in the boat with you. It's one thing to hear about it from others, but it's another thing altogether when I experience him and his power for myself. Like I said, I can learn from other people. Situations and experience and storms, what they did right, what they could have done, what their testimony is. I should have done this and I didn't. But when I go through it myself, and I've got to go through it, today's trial is tomorrow's testimony. When I can stand and go, I disobeyed God. Think about Jonah. I disobeyed God. And God said, okay, I'm going to send a storm. Then I'm going to prepare a great fish. Sometimes instead of pointing the finger and blaming God, let's acknowledge who's in control. And God's like trying to get my, you've got my attention. You've got my attention. What do you want me to do now? But I want you to see something. You probably, I read over and you may not have caught. Verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Let that just run through your brain for a moment. It wasn't just the disciples and Jesus in the storm. There were other little ships out on the Sea of Galilee. Now, granted, I realize just like in the plagues, he can make the darkness over here and light just right over Goshen where they are. He can send the flies over there and not over here in this situation. It may have been that way. But I think if the waves are crashing, the wind's blowing, if you're in the vicinity, you're probably going to feel some effects of that. So they're in their ship. And once again, if you follow along with the story, of the, I mean, just where they are chronologically, people are following. They want to be near Jesus. They want to hear what's going on. They had sent the multitudes away. Well, you know there was some that, let's follow him. Let's get in our ship and let's follow him. See what's going to happen, where they're going. Now they're in a storm that was meant for the disciples, particularly. And they're out there probably fearing for their life too. And then all of a sudden, perfect glass. It affected more than just the disciples. When you're going through a storm, it's going to affect others around you. They're going to see the waves. They're going to see the wind. And they're watching how you respond, how you react. Are you blaming God or are you praising God? Are you saying, why me? Or going, yes, Lord, you're talking to me. You've got my attention. Even Jonah at least realized, hey, it's my fault. You guys just throw me over. It'll be fine. But like I said, sometimes it's not just for you. That storm can reach so many more people. You think about Nathan. Our whole church in Alaska, and pretty much everybody on a prayer chain, everybody's praying for Nathan, and now I brought it to your attention and you're praying. You don't know who he is. You don't know his parents. But some of you may know what he's about to go through, whether in your own life or a relative or somebody else. And he's 12. And this whole time, to my knowledge and my wife's knowledge, he's never thrown a fit. He's never questioned why me. He's like, okay. Now, I wasn't there today when he got the news. Yes, you have cancer. I don't know if they told him how long he got to live or this treatable. I wasn't there for all of that. But learn the lesson in the storm. They exist to teach us dependence upon him. When we come to the place where we stand in awe of his power, of his person, of his plan, the storms will cease to frighten us. That doesn't mean the storms are going to stop. Doesn't mean they're not going to come. They will stop frightening us because I want that second fear first. That all my God is able. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I may preach that, I don't know. They're in the fiery furnace. But they're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And they stand up to Nebuchadnezzar, O king, we're not careful how we're going to answer thee. Our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But I want you to know something. Even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down to your idol. He is able. I know he can deliver us. If it's His will, He can. But even if He doesn't, and we die in that fire, we'll die standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stand for our God. We're not bowing down to your God. Now, if you know the story, God miraculously delivers them. No singe of hair, no smell of smoke. Unbelievable testimony. God used that. But they had to be willing to go through it. And I'm noticing since I've been here, all this story come back that it's not just for me to draw closer to God in whatever storm situation, prayer life, whatever it may be. There are others that can be influenced by what I go through. The good, the bad, the desperation, others are watching. It may be my children. It may be my parents. Maybe co-workers. Everybody has storms. Everybody goes through storms. And if I could realize He's in total control, I don't have to fret. I mean, my roof may be blowing off because of a tornado. All right, God, you're going to have to provide me somewhere to live. I'm not making light of it. Yes, your possessions, all those pictures of your chin. I mean, yes, it sounds horrible. But God is able to deliver. But even if He doesn't, and He takes every worldly possession I have and takes all of my children and takes everything that happens to me, He's still worthy to be praised. And it's easy to say it when there are no storms. God, you're so good. You bless me with a job, a wife, and kids. Man, you're just amazing. And God says, if I take all of them from you, will you still think that? Well, of course. Then your spouse gets cancer, given 3 months to live. God, what are you doing this to me for? You said you'd praise me. Whether it's disease, discouragement, difficulty, or death, it will seem nothing when compared to Him. I think I made a comment the other day, you know, the doctor diagnosed your cancer, you got 4 months to live, and it's like, woohoo, I get to see Jesus in 4 months. That's usually not our answer. You're thinking, how can I hold on for longer than 4 months? But if the one that I say I believe in, the one who died for me, am I excited to see Him face to face? Am I excited to see Him and thank Him for the storms? Thank Him for the lessons that I learned. Those who have a big God have little problems. And those who have a mighty God can weather the storms. Tonight, like I said, I may not know specifically what storm you're going through. And I don't have to. But I want to point you to the ones. Point you to the lessons that we can learn in our storm. And not that we wake up tomorrow and God, yes, give me a storm, God. I want to learn more. Because they're going to come. They're going to happen. But when they do, allow them to draw you closer to God. Not to blow you away, to draw closer. Let's pray. Dearly Father, thank You once again that we have the Word of God, that we have Your promises. Yes, tonight I preach on the storms, and it's nice to say, God, will You remove this? And You step up and say, peace be still, and it's removed. But it seems more times than not, we've got some growing to do. Lord, I don't know in Nathan's life and his family's life specifically what You're trying to do. But I know there are lots of people praying. And most are praying that You will heal him, that You'll remove this cancer, and that would bring You glory. But Lord, that's from our viewpoint. The Lord, help us to see things from your viewpoint. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, move in this church, in these storms, in these individual lives. Help them to get that second fear first, that awe and amazement of who you are and what you can do, and that even if you don't do it, you're still worthy to be praised. Lord, just speak to us tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, you'd stand for just a moment. I just want to give you an opportunity. If the Lord spoke to your heart and you want to come kneel at this altar, I know you can pray right where you are. I know that. There's something about moving to an altar and saying, God, I surrender all to you. You move as the Lord leads tonight. Just for a moment, I want to thank you once again for being here tonight. I do ask you to continue to pray for Pastor and his wife as they're traveling and as they're dealing with their parents and the issues they're going on there. Keep them in prayer. Do remind you, Tuesday, Men's Coffee Fellowship, 8:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Our midweek Bible study at 6:30. The Christmas Cantata Readers, November 2nd. Women of Prayer, November 24th. Pie and Praise, November 25th. Singspiration, November 30th. They're in the bulletin. Pay attention to those things. But once again, I pray tonight as we leave, you'll look at the Lord a little different tomorrow. You get up and no matter if you're traveling, if you're going to work, if you're just another day, let's look at it. Hey, this is the day the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And if a storm comes, Lord, I know I'm not alone. I know you have a lesson for me to learn, and I thank you for it. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you once again for being here tonight.